How many would like to understand God? You know, we don't comprehend Him. But just because we don't comprehend Him doesn't mean that He doesn't comprehend us. This morning was a challenging time because of something that happened between Mom and I, and I'm not going to go into the details of it. I'm just going to ask you to keep us in prayer. It's nothing bad. It's just that revelation is being confirmed. And when revelation is confirmed, it's hard to walk in that space. How many know what I'm talking about? You hear. Sometimes He allows you to see. But more important, He allows you to taste. And this morning, as I was crying out to Him to seek what He wanted to talk about, my heart was that many people have a religious view of salvation. And He reminded me of Moses and the Israelites as they crossed over from the Red Sea, and later on He gave me a vision of it. And He took a nation of slaves out of the country most noted for witchcraft and sin. And for 40 years, He challenged them to go to Father. And when Father came down on the mountain, they ran. They couldn't handle His awesome power. I can recall reading a book many years ago, 98, I believe it was, called The Gold of Exodus, written by a former investigator of the city of New York. And he went through the scripture like he would in his training as an investigator, and he found some very surprising facts. He sneaked into Saudi Arabia, took some pictures, verified what he had believed from what the scripture said versus what Jewish tradition speaks about. I can remember sitting on the bus in Israel with my tourist guide named Israel, Izzy we called him, and he called himself Izzy, discussing this reality with him, and he, with his learned knowledge, saying to me, "This book is a fake." And I said to him, "Please be hungry enough to get a copy for yourself and look at the photographs that were taken. And then ask the Lord to confirm the truth to you." And he was angry with me. You see, when you speak a truth, because I know as I was reading the book, I was overwhelmed with the anointing of the Lord. And you know that God is doing this, that you just can feel His presence. And He's really saying, "Kim, this is truth." When they actually showed some of the photographs that they took under the Red Sea, there were photographs of chariots that only could have come from that time slot because of the way that the wheels were designed. and they're still visible. Some of them have been crystallized by the formations of the rock stuff, but some of them were made out of brass and they were covered with other stuff, and they are still visible this day, proving that Mount Sinai is not the mountain, but literally a mountain in Saudi Arabia is. It is guarded day and night. How many know the enemy doesn't want the truth to get out? Okay. So I shared some of this with Izzy, and I could tell that it wasn't something that he wanted to hear, because it was going to take him off of his course, because he took people down to the Sinai Peninsula, and he would tell them of what the Jewish tradition teaches, rather than what is real. What am I saying all this to tell you? Moses took some slaves out of Egypt. 4,000 years later, has the slavery been abolished? Scary, isn't it? We've had roughly 4,000 years, and I'm not trying to quote numbers, I'm just giving you a round figure, because the number is not important. What's important is the mental slavery is still in process. The church believes the Jewish traditions, teaches the traditions of men, versus what the Word says. Okay? And a man out of what you could call natural training took the Word for what it said, followed its instructions to the T, and found what no one else wanted to admit. Is it important where this mountain is? Absolutely not. But what is important is that the mindsets that have been inside of men is still a reality today. Now, how did I get this book? Only because of the sovereign work of God. Somebody was irritated by this book and said, Kim, you need to get a copy. And finally, they bought me one. And I read it. One of these thick, wonderful, hefty books. And I thought, oh my God, this is going to be a chore. But you know what? I found it was awesome. I found it was exciting. It was just awesome, because you see, he was looking with his buddy for the gold. You see, the scripture says that they took the Egyptian gold and they created what? A golden calf at the base of the mountain. Amen? And guess what? Moses got angry and destroyed it. And buried it. That's why the book is called the Gold of Exodus. And everybody's interested in gold. God says, it's not that gold that I want you to be hungry for. It's my gold I want you to be hungry for. Later on, he told Moses to make an ark and to put the Ten Commandments inside, along with the manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and then to put a cover on it. How many know that the entire box was made out of a special kind of wood, but then covered in gold? That Ark of the Covenant is now called the Tabernacle, and Scripture says we are the Tabernacle. Were we not hung on that tree with him? So we have inside of us a background of lawlessness and rebellion. It's been hung on that tree. Then the cover of the box is called the mercy seat. The mercy seat was in the natural. in the earth, inside the Holy of Holies. Amen? But Moses had made a copy of what was in heaven from what he had seen in the heavens. Amen? Now, switch forward with me after the cross. What do we got? We got Resurrection Sunday. Right? We're going to celebrate that. Resurrection Sunday, there's a little woman who's hungry to see her Savior, yet she's concerned about his flesh. After all, she doesn't want it to be unkept. So she's going to go and make sure that that body is in A1 condition. And to her surprise, what does she find? The gardener. Her perception. The gardener says, Mary. And when he spoke, she was responsive. And she wanted to what? She wanted to just grab a hold of him. She wanted to touch him. She wanted to feel, wow. And what does he say? Not yet. Don't touch me. Because I have to go where? Into the heavens and sprinkle my blood on the real mercy seat. Of which I really am that mercy seat. Did you ever wonder why that the mercy seat was covering the law? It was covering the manna. It was covering the rod that budded. Why was the mercy seat on top of all this?
Jesus fulfilled it.
And he says, I'm over and greater than all these rules and regulations. I am greater than the manna that came from heaven because I am the living bread. Amen? And I have all authority because my Father has now preceded me above all this other stuff, and we still live in the old because we still have a slave's mentality. The power of the mind can change things. You can bend rods. The power of the mind, when it's coordinated, can change circumstances. Agreements between two men can change your future. But when it's anointed of God, how much higher will it go? Way higher. Now all this is to try to give you understanding that Jesus has a promise for the last days. And that promise is that you will come out of your slave mentality. His salvation is so awesome and so great that the prayer of Moses will be answered. That men will no longer have a slave mentality or a victim mentality where everybody's picking on me. How many have ever tasted the victim mentality or the slave mentality? How many of you tasted it in thought life and lived under that slave response? Oh, poor me. And I'm not picking on you. I've done it. But I am telling you this today. We touched a little bit about 1 Peter yesterday. And I heard the Lord say this morning, we're going to go back to 1 Peter because I want to teach you about the mind, will, and emotions of man. The mind, will, and emotions of man have a need of salvation. How many know the mind, will, and emotions are actually called the soul of man? How many would like to see salvation in their mind, will, and emotions? So if you are free of your mind, will, and emotions, and you are saved from what you were, what do you think is going to happen to the poor me's? You're going to rule and reign with him.
But you cannot rule and reign with him until the salvation of the soul is a reality in your heart. And you're going to get it by...
Oh.
How do we get salvation? By a confession of faith. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth, salvation will... Try it on. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Declare it with me. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if I declare with my mouth, salvation will be a reality. How was I born again? I spoke a prayer. I created a belief. And then I believed it. And I thanked God for it. And guess what? My spirit man was transformed from death to resurrection power. I resurrected out of my mindsets into a place where I could walk and say, wow, I'm born again. The old man is dead and the new man is alive. Hallelujah. But I've still got this soul problem. And this soul problem is being dealt with now by the Word. Are you excited? Are you excited about His truth versus what you believe? I believed with an ED, past tense. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, sent out. That's what apostle means. To God's elect. I want you to put a circle around elect. Why the elect? First, there are the called. Then there are the chosen. And then there are the elect of God. Now, this letter is for the grown-ups. You say, have you any idea how old I am? I don't care how old you are. And if you're on the internet and you're 99, praise God, you might still be a child. But I know that there's some children that are more adults in the realm of the spirit than some men and women that are in their 90s. And I'm not picking on age. I'm just trying to tell you the number don't matter. It's the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ inside of you that makes the change. To the elect. Strangers in the world. How many have found that they feel, really, I am just not fitting in? Does that fit to you? If you fit with that, you will understand that the world can't understand you because you're from a different nation. You are from a different kingdom. You're serving a different king. When we advertised, and I heard the word of the Lord say, come and spend a week with my king. I spoke to my sister and I said, it keeps coming back. It's not a night with the king like the movie, but a week with the king. To find out about the kingdom. To find out what the word says about the kingdom. Rather than men's opinions. Amen? To God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and have been chosen. If you don't have a circle around chosen, you should consider it. According to the foreknowledge of God. That will bring some grinders to your soul. Your mind, will, and emotions will say, God knew it all along? Absolutely. Romans 8 guarantees it. The Father, foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, through the sanctifying work of me slaving on my knees, fasting and praying and screaming and yelling and saying, God, won't you perfect me? And it won't work. How did you get saved? Romans 10, 9 and 10. You first believed, then you chose to receive, and then you chose to declare it, and then you became it by faith. Did you notice I'm preaching this morning? Through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ. So if you think you're going to create your own obedience, I got news for you. Without the Holy Ghost, you can't do it. And sprinkling by his blood. What did he do when he got to the heavenly realm? He sprinkled his blood on the real mercy seat and opened the gates of heaven once again. They had been closed, but God opened them up by the sprinkling of his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Abundance of grace. Last week I was listening to a person on the internet, and he said we are entering what he called extravagant grace. Now I got some of my friends that make sure that I get to hear the good stuff that's coming, and I'm grateful for that. But it's kind of neat because usually there's two that give me the same message. So I get it either two or three times. So I say, okay, Lord, this is great. You're letting me know what's important. I can't miss it. God's got his little hounds working them, and I'm so grateful for them. So praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. Is that what your Bible says? Into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Now that's intense. He says it's kept in heaven for you. Now, let's look at this. Is it only the salvation of your spirit that he's talking about? Kept in the heavens? Absolutely not. And we'll make sure that St. Paul and St. Peter confirm each other, if you so desire. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in about 1,000 years from now. Is that what Scripture says? No. In these last times. Was Peter living in the last days? Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Are these the last days 2,000 years later? Yes, they are. In this you greatly rejoice, that now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Now that's written just for me. These have come so that your faith of greater worth then gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise to God and honor. And when Jesus Christ is revealed, I want you to hold on to that one. And when Jesus Christ is revealed, through you, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith. I repeat that. You are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your spirit. Really? It says soul in your Bible? What is your soul? Mind, will, and emotions. So it's been kept in heaven for roughly 2,000 years. Peter got a foretaste of it. He was not the same person. And if it was available to him 2,000 years ago, it's available to me today. So I don't live where I used to live. I can live my tomorrows today, now. I can be transformed out of my soul, the old soul, into the new, recreated soul, resurrected soul power, under the anointing of the Holy One of Israel. If you understand this, if you just begin to grasp that truth, you will no longer be reacting like you used to. Because you'll have an understanding that your mind, will, and emotions can and are being saved. And it's a process. It is a work in progress. Would you kind of nudge your neighbor and say, you're a work in progress? God's not finished with you yet. And the construction is still ongoing. Hallelujah. See, if you begin to comprehend it as procedural, you will then not be so discouraged when you see yourself dying. I saw someone this morning facing this cross in vision form, going like this, saying, "I was crucified with him. Died to my old responses. Resurrected it into the next level." Because you can't have a resurrection without a death. Okay, verse 10. "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them." If you don't have a circle on "in them," you need to put one. "Pointing when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you," meaning those who he's writing this letter to. Amen? "When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have been preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things." Wow. Angels are jealous about what's happening right now. They're jealous because we will rule and reign with the Lord. That's what's coming. Shit. Ruling and reigning with the Lord means you're going to be doing what he did through his Spirit. Verse 13. "Be holy. Therefore, prepare your spirit for action." Is that what it says? Huh? Is that what yours says?
No.
What does yours say, Gail?
"So brace up your mind, be soul."
Oh, really? Prepare your minds for action? Prepare your minds for action. That means you're going to come out of the slave mentality. You're going to come out of that which you thought about yourself, and you're going to start thinking differently. You're going to think the thoughts of the Lord. You're going to think the way the Lord thinks. But you've got to start by declaring it by faith. Because you don't get anything without faith. Because without faith you can't please my Father. Lift your hands to him right now. We need to take just a moment to celebrate this new mind that's coming into us. Oh, that which we were will no longer be, because the slave mentality is dying, Lord. It's been crucified on that tree with you, Lord. And I thank you that your way is the perfect way, and that your mind is the perfect mind. And I need more of you, Lord. Without your mind inside of me, I'm going to stay a slave and I'm going to die a slave. But with the mind of Christ inside of me, I will be alive and I will resurrect out of every single problem, every single difficulty, every single discouragement, because you are the author of who I am. And you will not leave me or nor forsake me. I give you praise, my Father. I give you praise, my Father, that this mind of Christ is being formed even as I speak, even as I confess it to be a reality. I thank you for it this day. In Jesus' name, I pray. Hallelujah. This mind will transform the way I respond to my circumstances and those that are around me. This mind will transform the way that I react to those who are angry with me. This mind will take their sin and say, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They have no knowledge or understanding of how they've crucified me, how they've taken their natural realm and believed that they were doing godly work. Just like those who crucified my Savior Jesus Christ. I am surrounded by Pharisees. And many of them have great intentions to serve God. Just like Paul, who wanted to get rid of this man, Stephen. Who was irritating him because he was giving truth. But the seeds of truth that went into Stephen and out of the mouth of Stephen came life and resurrection into Paul. I want you to repeat after me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
The mind of Christ is being formed in me.
The mind of Christ is being formed in me.
The salvation of my soul.
The salvation of my soul.
My mind, my will, and my emotions. It's going deeper, Lord. It's going so deep inside of me that those around me will be shaken. And I glorify my Savior Jesus Christ.
And I glorify my Savior.
Because I take the mind of Christ as an act of my will. I declare it boldly today. I have the mind of Christ.
I declare it.
I openly speak it forth. And I will be speaking the words of the Most High out of my heart to those around me. Not out of an arrogant attitude, but out of a humble heart. I will intercede for those who distrust me, that can't stand me, because of the light of Christ inside of me. And I ask, forgive them, Lord. They know not. They have no knowledge of what's really going on inside of me. I'm being changed radically by God. And it's being done as a work of faith. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. So therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hopes fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Is Jesus Christ being revealed today inside of you now?
Yes.
That's what's happening. Did it happen to Peter? When did it happen to Peter? And how?
He confessed to Jesus that he was the
sinful man.
When he told Jesus that he was the Messiah. He
After he denied him. And he saw the real spirit that was controlling him. And he saw his own soul deny the Most High God. He saw what was inside of him. And unless I see what's inside of me coming out of me, I can't do a darn thing about it. Because I think I'm holy. I think I'm able to do. So much for the mind that I have. But when the mind of Christ was formed in Peter, he was declaring, get away from me. I am a sinner. I am a sinful man. And he was naked. There's a reason that he was naked in that scripture. He had nothing more to hide. Everything was laid out. The world is very upset right now because of some artists that decided to show Jesus as a piece of chocolate. You're not aware of that? Well, you haven't got U.S. news. Did anybody see that on the news in the past few weeks? Actually, a week and a half. Yeah, there's an artist in New York that actually sculptured a real Jesus out of chocolate. And he entitled it, My Sweet Jesus. And he's naked. He doesn't have a loincloth. And guess what? 80% of those in the media were all upset because this Jesus doesn't have a loincloth. And I begin to laugh because I'm thinking of the stupidity of this whole argument. I mean, so what? They've depicted him married with a prostitute, according to them. And they depicted him, and this guy's thinking of him as chocolate. And I thought, gee, that's kind of neat. I love chocolate. You know, and he's declaring something. But what is he speaking? We can't stand his nakedness. And he was naked on that cross. He had nothing left to hide him. What am I saying to you? This is just a little tiny bit of the persecution that will take place. And it's okay. God is not all upset because his son hung on a cross naked. In fact, he saw him that way before the creation of the world. So he's not upset about your nudity. He's not upset about your organs being exposed to the world. Who was upset when Jesus showed up and Peter didn't have any clothes on? Peter was. Showing his own flesh. He was actually declaring the same words as Adam. Adam had a fig leaf. Peter jumped into the water to hide his. Look at the difference. One takes a leaf, the other one jumps into the living water. Talk about a match. But you see, what I'm getting at is man and his fear of his God seeing him naked. Does he really know what's going on inside of me? Does he really see the fullness of my feelings, my emotions, all of the fear tactics that operate in me? Am I going to believe that he can't handle my nakedness? Or am I going to change and have the mind of Christ, where Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, do you love me? That's the transition time. Right? The time for things to change is now. Does he love me naked? Does he love me as a sinner? Does he love me enough in the midst of my sin to deliver me with a new mind? A salvation of the soul. The entirety of my being being transformed. That's your message for this day. Come out from where you are. Walk in the freedom of declaring what Jesus already said is done. And Peter tasted it 2,000 years ago. So isn't it about time the body of Christ tastes it now? Have we waited long enough? Can we take this on by faith like we did salvation of the Spirit? Can we really taste the goodness of our God? Can we walk away from the slavery and the victim mentality? Can we walk in the freedom that Jesus has paid for and answered Moses' prayer? So it's for the Jew first. They're the ones that came out of slavery, aren't they? They came out of the natural slavery, but they didn't come out of the mental slavery. And they're still in process. And it's okay. Bow your heads, close your eyes.
Lord Jesus, I believe that I have given them what you have shown me this morning. I believe there's much more to come. But let this be a foundation so that they can come to the understanding of your will for them. The transformation of the inner man. So that the inner man can now control the outer man. The spirit man within them can overrule what the mind of the soul, the will, the emotions used to rule. Because of your great mercy and love. I give you praise for the sprinkling of their entire being, spirit, soul, and body, that they may fulfill God's promise to change the earth. In Jesus' name. And amen. Would you agree with me? Say, Lord Jesus, we're asking for the grace of all those that will listen to this message on the internet, that they may be blessed this day to be able to confess with us, I have the mind of Christ by faith. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. My soul is in the process of salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. Share some hugs.